Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We are here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today we're going to talk about the seven practices of healthy youth ministry as we kick off a series looking at each of these practices. As we support congregations, we want to resource them as they look to make disciples of Jesus Christ for life. One of the ways we do that is through our seven practices of healthy youth ministry.
So let's step back a couple of seconds because we've been talking about seven practices of healthy youth ministry for a few years. Mm-hmm. But even before that, there have been plenty of models for youth ministry in the LCMS throughout the years, from confirmation instruction to Sunday school to Walter League to Lutheran Youth Fellowship and beyond. Certainly have read several historical accounts of youth ministry throughout our synod's history, and congregations have served young people in a variety of ways over different periods of time. Some of those have things that are the same, and also there are things that are different. So when youth leaders step into that role, they might look at what's been done before in a congregation's past or in history of youth ministry. But as Gen Z and now soon to be Gen Alpha pass through our youth ministries, there might be places where congregations feel unprepared to face the unique gifts and challenges of working with teens today.
Yeah, I think maybe times there was maybe an attitude that there or a thought there was, and it was probably somewhat true. I mean, I don't think it's to say that it was not appropriate that there was like kind of a model that worked well with maybe a generation that there's kind of more of that connection that happened. And we were really wrestling with, I think, things that congregations were bringing to us about as they looked at their time and their context working with young people and families. And we really wanted to get down and answer those questions about youth leaders and what does healthy youth ministry look like in their congregation. So we spent a lot of time the last few years digging into certainly our scripture and our Lutheran theology around our understanding of vocation and different roles in life and how we care for young people and support families in that. We listened to practitioners and did some of our favorite stuff too of reading data and conducting our own research. Tell us a little bit about that research, Juliana, that we did.
Yeah, so we in 2016 and 2017 did a three-part research project called Millennials in the LCMS and really wanted to go out and look at a couple of different things. One is if we did our own research, would it be significantly different than what we would see from a Barna or from Fuller or from other places that do research. And then we also wanted to know if a young person stayed in the LCMS, why did they stay? Or if they left, why did they leave? And we were really blessed beyond what we ever expected in terms of data. So in those three pieces, we were able to get feedback from congregations about their retention rates and qualities about those congregations. We were able to get over 2,000 respondents to our survey of young people who had grown up in the LCMS, and regardless of where they are now, we had a good smattering of everybody in the places where they've landed. And then we went back and we did some focus groups. And we put all of that together and the things that we learned from that, we put it in a book called Relationships Count. But often that's very data driven.
Right.
It's talking specifically about the data. And it makes some suggestions. But for the most part, people who read that material then went back and said, like, okay, so so what? Right. Millennials are now all old and with mortgages and children. what now?
Yeah. And I think I'll say I love systems. I love programs. I was hoping for the silver bullet program was
going
to be, this is the how do you do confirmation? It's going to do everything. It's going to add to your retention numbers, or this is the youth ministry program. Yeah. This is the things you need to say, whatever it is. And lo and behold, we didn't come up with a program. And it was just like the book, it was Relationships Count. It was all about those relationships. And it was awesome to see how the many way God uses his church through word and sacrament ministry to build those relationships. And so that it was really, I mean, there's, I think maybe a fair thing to say was there was intentionality around those relationships that were built for young people, whether it was in the home, whether it was in the congregation, whether it was church worker to young people or peer-to-peer, that there was something about, again, congregations who you know, made that a priority. And always, again, Christ at the center, but there's intentionality around relationships. And so, again, was not a program, but at the core was relationships. What else did we kind of find in some of those pieces that we were putting that together?
Yeah, I think we found what scripture would say to us, which is not surprising and yet always gratifying, right? So not a program, but also not complicated.
Right.
The things that we talk about in the seven practices are really not complex. Mm-hmm. If you've been in youth ministry for a while, they're not things that you haven't heard before. Mm-hmm. Right. They're not things that are different from what we would say about all congregational mm-hmm. ministry yep. to some degree. But that doesn't necessarily make them easy. Relationships, if you're in them, they're messy. Mm-hmm. They're mm-hmm. complicated. They're mm-hmm. hard to develop. And then sometimes they're hard to maintain. Giving opportunities to serve and lead, giving opportunities to engage young people in learning about their baptismal faith. They're all not complicated, but they're, to some degree, not easy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So as we think about those seven practices, as you hear them, sometimes there can be lulled into a sense of like, oh, well, that doesn't sound so hard. Anybody could do that. And that's true. Anybody mm-hmm. can do that. But they're not done, like you said, without a level of intentionality.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that certainly we saw too around those relationships is that, of course, what plays into that is it was a team effort in caring for young people and youth as well. And so we saw that in families of, you know, parents and siblings and those that put Christ at the center of what they do. Sharing forgiveness and love in that family unit was one strong thing. And also too, like we were able to come out with, you know, some of the terms that we're going to talk about here in a little bit around other adults that are caring for young people as well. And we saw that certainly as we think about our pastors and our congregations, and then also those church workers who work with young people and built those relationships, and then amazing lay people who, out of maybe love that was shown to them when they were growing up by other people in their church, are also volunteering and supporting young people in maybe some formal ways, but informal too, and how that makes an impact in the life of a young person.
You might be wondering at this point, what are these seven practices? You're being very elusive about them, right? And they're not. So back, this would have been back in 2018, we started really talking about these and putting some language around it. And what we said is that the seven healthy practices of youth ministry include that healthy congregations have a couple of different things. First, an environment of warmth, challenge, and grace. That they have some people involved in them. So that would include supportive adults and engaged parents, and that they're providing opportunities to serve and lead.
Yeah, and one thing that I saw that was really cool is we were echoing that we're doing a lot on things around Set Apart to Serve. And so there's some other research that was going by, and it was neat to hear their research done separately and how those things were coming up in that research too. So again, those important people. And then also, I love that opportunity to serve and lead, where again, young people are seen and encouraged in their vocational gifts now, but then also with a point to the future. And another side of that too, then certainly we kind of talk about these outcomes for youth ministry as well. And again, this might be beyond just high school youth ministry, but ministry to young people. And that's one that we help young people deeply understand their baptismal faith. So again, catechesis, teaching the faith, being in God's word, being talking about that again through connecting young people with maybe adults who have gone through adolescence and have come out on the other end safely by the grace of God, and be able to tell those stories. The second thing is to be able to develop a resilient identity in Christ. And so again, that is, we kind of geared that to like, as the reality of young people have to face the world in which they live, the context in which they live, how do we help them wrestle with those things and point them back to Christ and God's word and all those things? And then similar to those opportunities to serve and lead, then we talk a lot about vocation, is that gives that purpose to a young person's life as they understand that in the current context, but also give them that vision for planning for the future as well, and see how God will use them and work through them in many different ways in their life.
Like we said, these seven practices came from all of that research and pieces. We spent a lot of time trying to come together with some very specific wording that hopefully can encapsulate a lot of bigger concepts. So those seven practices are that healthy congregations have warmth, challenge, and grace. We spent a lot of time picking those three words. We wanted to be able to come up with descriptors that helped to describe the environment of that youth ministry. We know, based on our research for certain, but also from other research as well, and from talking to young people, that the environment of that congregation and that youth ministry does play a huge factor in retention, but also in the ways that they learn and understand about who God is and what He's done. And so we really wrestled with a lot of different terms, authentic, safe, mm-hmm. all of those, mm-hmm. and all of them have baggage. But for us, we felt like warmth, challenge, and grace were ones that included things like welcome, being able to both challenge sin when we see it and challenge mm-hmm. young people to live out their faith, but also grace, as we know that we are sinners in need of saving, and that point us, all three of those pointing us back to the love of Jesus, shown to us on the cross.
certainly, as Julianne said too, is that that is not something that just happens out in the air, but it happens through people. And so God brings a lot of people into youth ministry and loving and connecting with young people. The term that we came up with for, we'll talk about families here in a minute, but we're supportive adults. These were, again, Christians who invested in young people through many ways. Sometimes that, again, was a pastor through daily and weekly ministry that took place. Maybe it was a DCE or a teacher in the congregation, or maybe a Lutheran high school context, that, again, were people that were in those called positions that were caring for young people. Sometimes these were lay people at congregations that, again, showed love and support through many and various ways, whether it was very much leading youth ministry and Bible study and devotion and small group time and prayer. Sometimes it was adults that, you know, would just take the time to ask kids questions on Sundays and notice that they're missing and to reach out to them and to be those caring adults that are, again, extending the love of God and the love of the church to those young people. And sometimes, too, we would hear impact stories of young people who had maybe teachers in their school who were Christians, but maybe not a member of their LCMS church, who are also those supportive people that maybe saw them in times of struggling or support them, encourage them in faith too. Maybe when they saw them being pressured or pushed on by the ways of the world, that they were able to step into that context of school and be able to be those adults that supported them and cared for them. Again, how God worked through them and how I think it's a beautiful thing that as we look at all the adults in a congregation, they all can be supportive adults in many ways through prayer, through financial support, maybe to go to events or to be encouraged in their daily ministry, but then also to speak those words of Jesus' love for young people as they grow up in the church, and just saw beautiful stories of how God worked through supportive adults.
The third part of those seven practices is engaged parents. We recognize that sometimes this feels like parents and youth ministry don't always work together, but we believe that they're an important part, right? Because parents are the primary faith leader of their young person. They are the mentor, the person that their young person is going to be looking to model faith practices. And so we know that engaged parents and their partnership with youth ministry is an important part of that healthy youth ministry. And so we want to encourage parents to both be modeling that and living out their faith life in terms of praying, spending time in God's word, spending time in worship, leading in their church, but also helping their young person, their teen, to be able to do those faith practices as well, especially as they transition in through high school and into young adult years, wherever that might take them. And that congregations are supporting those parents. They're partnering well with them. They're providing them supports and engagement so that they can have faith conversations in the home, that they can be teaching the faith in the home, and that they might be able to have supports from other parents, Christian parents as well.
And that fourth component for congregations was that they provided opportunities to serve and lead. And that was so much, again, of seeing young people for who they are, the gifts that God's given to them, the really the interests that they have and ways that they want to serve the church and serve in their vocations. And so this sometimes, again, those leadership roles may have been very specific, actually having positions maybe on boards or councils or maybe within the youth ministry to be able to have responsibilities that did that. Maybe, again, they were leading aspects of either maybe VBS or we love stories of people who maybe took on supporting the acolytes on a Sunday morning to make sure that that happened. And so that young people, again, are given those leadership roles to get engaged. And so much of that would happen to those is relationships are being built with other adults and with other people when they're in those roles and be able to learn more about the church and how it operates. And then also then the opportunities to serve. And that could be in the church, so many ways in which young people can serve around the congregation, and then also serve the people of God through service of day in, day out, weekly opportunities to serve maybe, again, those in the congregation that need assistance in many ways. And then also special times too, where maybe they went on servant events or mission trips to be able to serve in the name of Jesus outside their normal context and be able to grow in their faith that way and to see the impact that the gospel have in lives of others and how that service opportunity also to connect them to the church and help them understand who they are in Jesus.
So those four practices are ones that congregations can develop. They're the ones that congregations can focus on having in their youth ministry. And then the other three are more about the end result of their youth ministry. How is that young person different because they were a part of your congregation and a part of your youth ministry? And so that's healthy youth ministries help all young people to first deeply understand their baptismal faith, that they are engaging in catechesis, that they're engaging in Bible study, that they're becoming lifelong learners and understanding who God is and what God's done for them, particularly in their baptism, and that that is a big part of their youth ministry. It's the focus, the one thing that we want all youth ministries to be doing well is teaching and proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ and that what he's done for us on the cross.
And another piece that happened is like one of the things that we got a lot of these questions about with looking at that the retention piece was, you know, how do we help young people be prepared for the world in which they live? And that sometimes, you know, again, we are blessed to have Christian support around us and be able to see things in the world that we see are righteous and how God works through that. And the same times too, we look at the world and we see brokenness. We maybe are coming more encountered with people who are not in God's church and maybe who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and maybe are doing things that are contrary to God's word. And so how do we help young people understand that from a scriptural and theological standpoint, but also then to stand strong when those maybe challenges to their faith come, whether that's in a classroom, whether that's with friends, whether that's in relationships, whether that's just consuming media, to be able to have those filters as, again, and as we could see certain that change with technology change in the lives of young people, that churches and parents are no longer gatekeepers of information the way they used to be. And so preparing them for that to be prepared for that onslaught of new ideas and concepts that can come about our world. And so to be able to help young people stand in that foundation that is that baptismal faith. So we talk about that resilient identity, prepare them for that and also give them the answers in God's word to stand for truth, speak truth, and also, again, feel encouraged in that as they share into the lives of other people too, the love of Jesus Christ.
And then finally, to live out their unique vocations. This kind of partners well with in giving them opportunities to serve and lead in terms of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ through acts of mercy, through those ways that they serve in their congregation and outside in their community. But also we know that young people today have many vocations right now, ways that God has placed and called them to be able to share the good news of Jesus with a variety of people, whether that's in their classroom, whether that's on their sports team, whether that's in a workplace. And we want them to be able to feel empowered to be able to do so with a level of what we call humble confidence is a term we use a lot in the seven practices. Mm-hmm. We want them to be humbly confident as they go, knowing that they are sinners in need of saving, but also that we have a confidence in God and his promises to us, that we can go out and be able to share his love with other people, to be able to engage that broken world that Mark referenced earlier. But also that we want them to be thinking about future vocations as well, whether we know that they're thinking about what to do next, maybe after high school, thinking about what those vocations can look like as a part of a romantic relationship, maybe as a spouse, as a future parent, but also in the workplace and what that's going to look like for them in their future communities. And maybe even thinking about professional church work as that fits with their gifts and skills. And certainly we talk about that as part of the seven practices. So that's really a really short summary. And certainly we started out with that summary just to kind of give you a taste. So those are the seven practices. And if you've encountered them through us before, or maybe you haven't, each of those is kind of spelled out in about 4 to 5 kind of sub points that we include with that. And initially, as we put this together, we put together those sub points, and then we put together some like short summaries and discussion guides that congregations could use. We put that out in a magazine along with some resources, and that was where this thing started. And then as we began to talk to practitioners, we fleshed some of those things out differently. We switched them around. We clarified some of the language and the content around that. We began to see that, you know, this thing really has a chance for us to be able to talk about it in more depth. And so we took what we had already done and we put out in a magazine, and then we spent some time over the last couple of years putting together a book. And we wanted to put together this book to be able to not just give a small summary, but to give a more depth and breadth to the those concepts that are in those seven practices, and to really break down some of the components that could be stumbling blocks, but also some ways that you can specifically generate those seven practices in your youth ministry. Along with that, we also have all through that process of many years been engaging with practitioners, presenting to them, getting feedback from them, hearing from them what they see working or not working in their congregations, better ways to describe the seven practices. And so we use some of those people and to do some interviews in the book to help give some specific practical ways that we see them happening in the congregation. So we just released that book earlier this year with Concordia Publishing House. It's available now. And we hope that it's a way for you to be able to dig deeper into those seven practices.
So maybe a little bit, Juliana, why another book on youth ministry?
Well, I mean... Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if we made a good decision with the book, but it's written now. So, I do think one of those things that's different about the seven practices than what you're going to find in other places is that we know the realities of most of our LCMS congregations are that you're not working with a youth group of 100 people. You don't have your own youth group building. You're not running, you're maybe not even big enough to run small groups, right? You're not working off of a million-dollar budgets or anything like that. So we wanted everything in seven practices to be geared to, you can do healthy youth ministry if you have one kid and who's in junior high and you just want to love that kid well and help them to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ for life. Or if you do have 100 kids in a building and a million-dollar budget, we wanted those seven practices to be true throughout the spectrum of resources, of location, of what that looks like for youth ministry.
And that's not to say there are not other great youth ministry resources that are out there, but I think too, you know, just when we talk about our theological pieces too, and how we understand scriptures, that it was good maybe to take some of those practices that are out there that are good too, but also to always keep and lifting up, you know, how we talk about those, how we understand those, how we see God working through those. And being able to point us back that we all are baptized children of God and it's God's work, and that we get to be a part of that, again, by his grace and mercy, but the exciting stuff that happens. And I hope too, that we are able to put, we love what we do, and we love young people, and we love to hear the stories of God working through LCMS congregations. We hope that was a hopeful book, too, that, you know, sometimes you can look around the world and maybe see the numbers of the church declining, and yet we were just so encouraged to see churches that are doing good, healthy youth ministry and seeing God still at work, for sure, through his church and through his word and sacrament. So that was an encouraging thing for us to be able to do that and share that story with the church, thanks to, again, the time that churches took either in the research or feedback that they gave to us.
And maybe for us... the book really came from a place where we had you as youth leaders in mind. Now, maybe you're listening to this, you're like, I'm not a youth leader. I'm a member of this congregation. But we spend a lot of our time as a part of LCMS Youth Ministry, working with our districts, working with our congregations, being able to go out and talk to those youth leaders through our various programs and our resources and our opportunities to come and speak. And we have an incredibly soft spot in our hearts for youth leaders. It is a great joy to be able to serve them well as they work with young people and help them to become disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Working with preteens and teens takes a special combination of gifts and skills and passion, and it is certainly not for the faint of heart. Having done it for much of my professional career, I have some great stories, and I know they do too. But when you find that youth ministry is something you love, it kind of gets a hold of you. People who love caring for young people in their congregation and community are our kind of people. We know they have big hearts. They have ridiculous stories that we love hearing. They love Jesus, and they love sharing Jesus with youth.
Yes, the seven practices of healthy youth ministry were definitely written with youth leaders we know in mind, people that we've gotten to meet through this process, but even outside of that too. It was written to answer their questions and support their desire for healthy youth ministry, and we know that healthy youth ministry is something any congregation can have, and we hope the book and other resources can be helpful for you towards that end goal.
So a few closing questions for you to consider. First, who can you bring alongside you as you care for the young people in your congregation?
Which of the seven practices interest you the most?
And how are you assessing the seven practices in your congregation and seeking to develop healthy youth ministry? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you care for the young people through the joys and challenges of youth ministry. And we know God is working through you to share the good news of Jesus with them.
End Goals Podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. You can find more resources for youth ministry at youthesource.com. To find out more about LCMS Youth Ministry or to find links to resources mentioned, go to kfuo.org/youthministry. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.